Our second reading we'll find in 2 Chronicles chapter 23. Second Chronicles chapter 23, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And in the seventh year, Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds, Azariah the son of Jeroham, and Ishmael the son of Jehohanan, and Azariah the son of Obed, and Maaseiah the son of Adiah, and Elishaphat the son of Zichri, into covenant with him. And they went about in Judah and gathered the Levites out of all the tribes of Judah and the chief of the fathers of Israel, and they came to Jerusalem. And all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God. And he said unto them, Behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said of the sons of David. This is the thing that ye shall do. A third part of you entering on the Sabbath of the priests and of the Levites shall be porters of the doors. And a third part shall be at the king's house, and a third part at the gate of the foundation. And all the people shall be in the courts of the house of the Lord. But let none come into the house of the Lord save the priests, and they that minister of the Levites. They shall go in, for they are holy, but all the people shall keep the watch of the Lord. And the Levites shall compass the king round about, every man with his weapons in his hand, and whosoever else cometh into the house, he shall be put to death. But be ye with the king when he cometh in and when he goeth out. So the Levites and all Judah did according to all things that Jehoiada the priest had commanded, and took every man his men that were come in on the Sabbath, with them that were to go out on the Sabbath, for Jehoiada the priest dismissed not the courses. Moreover, Jehoiada the priest delivered to the captains of hundreds spears and bucklers and shields that had been King David's, which were in the house of God. And he set all the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar and the temple by the king round about. Then they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony and made him king. And Jehoiada and his sons anointed him and said, God save the king. Now when Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising the king, she came to the people into the house of the Lord, and she looked, and behold, the king stood at his pillar at the entering in, and the princes and the trumpets by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and sounded with trumpets, also the singers with instruments of music, and such as taught to sing praise. Then Athaliah rent her clothes and said, Treason! Treason! Then Jehoiada the priest brought out the captains of hundreds that were set over the host and said unto them, Have her forth of the ranges, and whosoever followeth her, let him be slain with the sword. For the priest said, Slay her not in the house of the Lord. So they laid hands on her, and when she was come to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, they slew her there. And Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king, that they should be the Lord's people. Then all the people went to the house of Baal and break it down, and break his altars and his images in pieces, and slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. Also Jehoiada appointed the officers of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests, the Levites, whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord to offer burnt offerings of the Lord, as it is written in the law of Moses, with rejoicing and with singing, as it was ordained by David. And he set the porters at the gates of the house of the Lord, that none which was unclean in anything should enter in. And he took the captains of hundreds, and the nobles, and the governors of the people, and all the people of the land, and brought down the king from the house of the Lord, and they came through the high gate into the king's house, and set the king upon the throne of the kingdom. And all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that they had slain Athaliah with the sword. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his most holy word. All right, so we have now this transfer of power from Athaliah, the illicit queen regent, to Joash, the son of Azariah, the son of Joram, the son of Jehoshaphat. So notice that they waited until the seventh year. There's nothing magic about the number seven. It is a covenantal number in Scripture. It is a number, it doesn't have superstition, but knowledge attached to it. Remember what superstition is. Superstition is attempting to bend providence by illicit means, rubbing a rabbit's foot, you know, making a false oath, swearing on your mother's grave or some other such sinful things to bend providence to your will instead. So that's what superstition is. They wait until the seventh year because it is a covenantal number, right? And so in Scripture, we'll remember the number three, which is the divine number of the thrice holy God, and the number four, which is the number of creation, the four points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. And so you put three and four together, you get a special number, the number seven. You multiply four times three, you get another special number, the number 12. So, and these are also special covenantal numbers in Scripture that have to do with reminding us of God's goodness and mercy and attributes and so on. So the number seven was as good as any. I'm sure that Jehoiada acted with wisdom that was befitting his day as to wait until this young king, Joash, was 7 years of age. So at that time, notice it was Jehoiada that strengthened himself. That means that he steeled himself for the duty that was at hand. It was not an easy thing. It was nothing short of a righteous revolution. I say a righteous revolution because it still could have involved much by way of bloodshed. Notice what Jehoiada does. He prepares for what we might consider to be the worst. So he calls the captains of hundreds and so on, and they all come to Jerusalem on that particular Sabbath day, that they will indeed throw out Athaliah from being queen and install the rightful son of David to be king. None of these folks that are here, when they come into Jerusalem, know that Joash is alive. They believe that Athaliah has slain all of the seed royal. It's been kept very close, lest Joash come under threat. So they don't know that he's there. But they come. Jehoiada strengthened himself and took the captains of hundreds. They are mentioned by name. And he took them into covenant with him. And I believe what that means is that he said, the king is alive. And then they went out and brought Levites in from all over Judah so that they could all converge upon Jerusalem at one particular Sabbath day. It's important that it's a Sabbath day because that's when the population of priests would have exploded and they would need the extra guard. Let's remember that Joash was being kept in the temple and no one that was not clean was permitted into the temple according to the law of God. And Levites then had their own police force that acted as a security force for the temple. Only they could be in there. And notice that each of them had weapons that were provided from the days of David, and they were kept in the house of God. Right. Well, this says something about the false doctrine of pacifism, doesn't it? Right. Pacifism is not of the Lord. Self-defense is of the Lord. And on this extraordinary occasion, there is an act of, we might say, offense. Certainly, Athaliah would have called it an act of offense. And yet, truly, it was an act of defense of the promises of God and the promise that he made to David that there would never be, that he would never want a man to reign upon his throne. Okay, so the congregation then, all of the people that were there, and remember that on the Sabbath day also, the people in their population would balloon. And so what Jehoiada does is he chooses a day in which there would be more Levites and more people there because the people groaned under the wicked rulership of Athaliah. And so he strengthens himself in all of those ways. Not only does he steel himself to his duty, but he develops a plan that will be a strong plan. He's not planning to fail. He is planning to succeed. And so he pulls out all of the stops. And why does he pull out all of the stops? Beloved, because the covenant and promise of God is at stake. And so this is what Jehoiada does here. So notice, all of the covenant, verse 3, all the congregation made a covenant with the king in the house of God, and he said unto them, behold, the king's son shall reign, as the Lord hath said, of the sons of David. Well, you can imagine the relief that that would have been to all of the godly in Jerusalem who had suffered under a queen regent that was a Baal worshiper and who had imposed that religion upon all of Judah. So then he makes this plan. He divides his forces into threes. Some of them, they go and watch the king's house. That would be where Athaliah is. Some of them are with the temple, right? And then others are sticking closely to Joash, the king's son. So he has a personal guard. There is a temple guard. And then there is a guard that's sent also over to the house of the king. And that guard is made up both of civil authority and Levites. But it's only the Levites that are in the house of the Lord. They're the only ones who are clean and able to be in the house of the Lord as the security therein. So the Levites and all Judah, verse 8, did according to all things Jehoiada the priest commanded. So what they did, these Levites, is they formed a phalanx of defense around King Joash, the babe, or the seven-year-old. Imagine entering into your regnal authority as a seven-year-old by these means. Imagine that. Okay, so then he set all of the people, every man having his weapon in his hand, verse 10, from the right side of the temple to the left side of the temple, along by the altar of the temple, and by the king round about. And they brought out the king's son and put upon him the crown and gave him the testimony. What testimony is that? That's the testimony of Deuteronomy 17, that every king's going to have a copy of the law. They've already got it prepared, and they'll put it into his hands, that he may read in it all the days of his life, that he may know how to rule as king. And then what did they do? They praised the Lord. They lifted up the trumpets. The people of the land rejoiced. The Levites rejoiced. There was instruments of music and such as taught to sing praise. That is the Levites who were the song leaders. And then Athaliah rent her clothes. And she said, treason, treason. Common cry of tyrants when they're called out. Remember that Athaliah was a murderess. Right? Murderous, ESS, not OUS. She was a murderess. She had committed murder. She killed all the seed royal. She took the crown to herself illicitly. This is not treason. This is justice. So what did Jehoiada the priest say then at that point? He said to her, have her forth of the ranges. That simply means, don't kill her close. Take her over there. Get her out from the house of God. Get her away from the house of God. And it says that she went forth by the horse gate, and that's where they slew her. On the way out of the city, they slew her there. They laid hands on her. She was coming to the entering of the horse gate by the king's house, and they slew her there. Well, now that she is dead, and Joash is installed as king, everyone can go home, right? Nope. We're not done yet. We're not yet done. What does it say? Jehoiada made a covenant between him and between all the people and between the king that they should be the Lord's people. And what happened as soon as they did that? Do you remember? They ran to the house of Baal and they killed the priest Matan, the idol worshiper, and they tore down Baal's altars and his house. Because, beloved, that's what it means to be the Lord's people in that day. We even confess this to this day in the larger catechism. What are the sins forbidden in the second commandment, LC 109? And part of that is tolerating a false religion. Or, as it ends, according to each one's place and calling, bringing down idolatry and all monuments to it. No, we don't act out of our station. We don't act out of our calling. But let's remember that Jehoiada as the high priest and Joash as the newly installed king had a greater opportunity, didn't they, as civil and ecclesiastical leaders to call upon the people to do things that private individuals may not be able to do. And they took full advantage of that. And so they tore down the image of Baal. They broke it in pieces. They slew Matan, the priest of Baal, before the altars. And they're still not done. The next thing that Jehoiada did was he set up the worship of God properly in the house of God. So Jehoiada appointed the offices of the house of the Lord by the hand of the priests of the Levites whom David had distributed in the house of the Lord. But he doesn't make it up. He goes back to David's appointment. He goes back to the word of God. He sets up the order of the offices in the house of the Lord according to David, according to the word of God. He doesn't make it up. He set the porters at the gates, just like David did, so that no one might bring anything into the house that was unclean. He put the Levites into their offices with singing as it was ordained by David. He put the Levites and the priests there that they might offer according as it is written in the law of Moses. Over and again, we see David and Moses and David referenced. Why? Because Jehoiada is careful to do all things after the commandment of God. This is what a true reformation is about. It's not just people getting weepy and sincere. It's doing it according to the word of God. That's what a true reformation looks like. Even the hard work of taking out an idolatrous queen regent and putting in the son of David in her place. So finally then, he took the captains of hundreds and the nobles and the governors of the people and all the people of the land and brought down the king from the house of the Lord. And they came in through the high gate into the king's house and set the king upon the throne of his kingdom. And note, just like every other rightfully installed king throughout Judah's history, that they were installed by the consent of the people, as there was a covenant between the people and the king. That no king simply placed himself, and no one man simply placed himself into that regal office. That was something that was agreed on by all of the nobles, or what Beza calls the estates of the land. And now finally, and all the people of the land rejoiced, and the city was quiet after that Athaliah was slain with the sword. Sometimes in order for the city to be quiet, the unrighteous must be dealt with. Well, it's a grievous time of revolution in Israel. No doubt the Lord brought this providence upon them for their sins. Obviously so. But the Lord also wrought reformation that day. This is a great passage of hope. That while all hope seemed lost, David's line had been snuffed out. An idolatrous queen regent was over the land in one day. The Lord brought victory out of what looked like absolute defeat. Well, he can do the same today. Shall we not have hope? Shall we not pray for the same kind of reformation, that it be done speedily in our land as the Lord would have it done in that? And shall we not take comfort that the same God that presided over that day in Jerusalem presides over our day? Let's stand together.